Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Now, this is our final Advent series. This is our final sermon in our Advent series just before Christmas. And if you've been here over the last couple of weeks, you'll know that Advent means arrival. At Christmas, Christians celebrate the arrival of Jesus Christ. And there is much to celebrate. Human history is scarred by the rebellion of humanity against our Creator. The great human need is to be restored to a relationship with our God. But there is hope. God promised to restore the relationship that we destroyed. And God's promise centers on a rescuer. Now, this rescuer in the Old Testament is called the Messiah. In the New Testament, he is called the Christ. And in our age of instant everything, with the startups of things like, you know, MenuLog and Amazon and next day delivery, it's good for us to remember that God's promise stretches back thousands of years to Adam and Eve. Our rebellion started thousands of years ago, and equally, God's promise to rescue began thousands of years ago. Have you ever had to wait days for something you desperately wanted? Well, imagine centuries. Imagine the whole world. Imagine the whole cosmic world waiting. 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 Then. And there came a night where the sky was filled with a host of angels who declared, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." What makes those words the greatest song? Well, it's because of two words there: glory and peace. This sermon is actually going to be based around those two words, glory and peace. For the regulars, you're hoping it's going to be really short, therefore. And once we realize just how history-altering those two words are, glory and peace, we'll also then look at what the real mission of Christmas is. And so that's where we're headed in this sermon: glory, peace, mission. And so firstly, to glory. Note how this greatest song begins. Glory to God in the highest. We long for glory. Now, whether it's the glory of a grand final winning goal, or a breathtaking sunset, a first kiss, a delicious meal, reeling in a trophy fish to the shore. You can work out which order I'd put those ones in. We love glory. As a matter of fact, we are created for glory. Now, you may choose to believe we love glory simply because the experience of glory makes us feel good. You know, the goosebumps, the racing heart, just simply makes us feel good. But that's not the explanation of the Bible. No, the blazing center of the Bible story is the glory of God. The reason we love glory, the reason we long for glory, the reason we search for glory is because we are made for glory. We are made by God for God. Listen to this quote from C.S. Lewis out of The Weight of Glory. "Apparently then, our lifelong nostalgia, our longing to be reunited with something in the universe from which we now feel cut off, to be on the inside of some door which we have always seen from the outside, is no mere neurotic fantasy, but the truest index of our real situation. And to be at least summoned inside would be both glory and honor beyond our merits and also the healing of that old ache. Here's the thing. You can choose to satisfy that lifelong nostalgia by simply enjoying moments of glory. Or you can enjoy the moments of glory knowing that they are gifts from the God of glory. Let me try and paint that picture for you. Have you ever sat by a window as sunlight has pushed its way through the pane? And then have you noticed just how many dust flecks are doing a dance? Now, it's one thing in the moment to contemplate the dust flecks doing their dance. And then it's another to contemplate the ray of sun that's making them appear. And then it's a whole nother level to contemplate where that ray is coming from. Millions of kilometers away from the sun. You see, there is fleeting glory in the moment, in the room, within our vision. But there is unimaginable glory, giving life to every moment in every room and well and truly beyond our vision. God is the blazing center of glory. Now, hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament prophet asked Moses a question I reckon every Christian wants to ask. God, show me your glory. God's brief reply to Moses carries the energy of a million atomic bombs. Moses asked the question. You can find the question in Exodus 33, verse 18. And God answered in verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Why a million atomic bombs? Well, this glory that Moses was asking to see, it carries the meaning of weight. Have you noticed how difficult it is to define glory? It's one of those words that you know it when you feel it or see it or taste it. But if someone asks you to define glory, words just never seem enough. When you see the glory of a cascading waterfall, the camera pixels never just seem enough. There is a weight of glory that is indescribable. Now, you can choose to believe that is a random chance of evolution, or the intentional design built into the universe by a God who is the blazing center of glory. The Bible talks about the glory of God over and over again. Here's a couple of verses. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Isaiah 6, 3. And a bunch of angels are all gathered together, and one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, give us the words of the greatest song, because finally, the door has been opened, and the angel said, glory to God in the highest. And our hearts cry, yes, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. The eyes of our heart move from the dancing of the dust of glorious moments like sporting moments or romantic moments or breathtaking escapades through nature, academic achievements, career achievements, joyous occasions with family and friends, and up and up and up to see the giver of glory. And brother and sister, know this. Jesus came so that we will not be crushed by the weight of God's glory, but so that he could draw us in to the glory of our Creator. And we know this because of the other word the angel said, peace. And so here we're moving from glory to peace. The angelic praise rang throughout the skies. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Now, it would be quite easy for us to get focused on global instability right now, wouldn't it? I mean, the news seems to be telling us that we could expect a global war within the next 5 to 10 years. However, I want to focus our attention cosmically, not just globally. Do you remember the quote from C.S. Lewis? We all have a longing to be reunited with something in the universe from which we now feel cut off. Listen. We are designed for glory. Our soul aches to be enveloped in glory, the glory of God. And our problem is that we settle for dust particles. We're too easily satisfied with alcohol, sex, career achievement, the body beautiful, the body forever young, mindless scrolling, mindless binge watching. And here's the thing. Romans 1 puts it like this. We exchange the glory of the immortal God for images. We exchange the blazing center of glory for dust. Now, it's impossible for the images, which are often good things, to satisfy the longing that we have for glory. As a matter of fact, the exchange often causes conflict. I'll give you an example. My wife, Nicole, is a wonderful wife, and marriage is a gift from God. However, if I expect Nicole to complete me, if I look to Nicole for my security and my significance, two things will happen. Over time, I will begin to resent Nicole. That's way too much pressure that no human could ever fulfill. And the other thing is, Nicole would become crushed by my expectation. We would have conflict. We wouldn't have peace. Our problem is not that we seek too much peace, but that we are too easily satisfied with the images of peace that cannot fix what has been broken. And what has been broken is our very operating system. We're designed to operate in a relationship with our Creator. Peace, true peace, lasting peace, unshakable peace can only be found when God is our God and we are his child. That's what we're made for. We're made by God for God. And so on the night Jesus was born, a multitude of heavenly angels in the middle of a paddock praised God with the greatest words ever spoken. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Jesus was born so that the glory of God can once again blaze into our hearts. Jesus opens up a door so that we can walk through and find peace. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Do you have peace? Do you know peace? Or are you still striving to find meaning, security, and significance? But you're only leaning into relationships and study or career or home beautiful or body beautiful? Or have you just tapped out on the great hunt for glory and numb your desire for glory with YouTube and Netflix and Insta and TikTok and drugs and alcohol and sex and porn and relationships and work and achievement and running around and rescuing everybody? Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you know peace? Well, I realize I forgot to draw your attention to that phone number up there. If you've got a question from the sermon, you can text it into that number. And after I've finished preaching, we'll sing, and then we'll do some Q&A if there's any questions. But what do those angels declare? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Those are the words of the greatest song. And it does usher in the greatest mission. And so here we're going to turn to our final point, mission. Mission. Jesus' purpose. Jesus did not come on a military mission to establish an earthly kingdom. No, Jesus is more than a general, president, or king. Jesus did not come on an education mission to educate the masses. Jesus is more than a teacher, prophet, or influencer. Jesus did not come on a therapeutic mission to soothe and heal. Jesus is more than a doctor, healer, and therapist. And this one might shock you. Jesus did not come on a religious mission to show us the right rituals. Jesus is more than a mystic, guru, or high priest. The first Christmas did not bring a baby to be gushed over. The story of Christmas is inextricably linked to the story of Easter. And the story of Easter is the greatest story ever told. At Easter, we discover the baby born in a manger grown into a man who, though innocent, willingly sacrificed his life for his enemies. At Easter, not only do we see Jesus crucified, we see God come and punish Jesus for our sin. At Easter, Jesus died the death we deserve. And at Easter, we see Jesus defeat the grave. He rose from the dead. Jesus is more. Jesus is so much more. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the one. He is the only one who can restore, heal, and mend the broken relationship you have, I have, with our Creator. As important as politicians, teachers, therapists, and pastors are, what you and I desperately need, what we long for, is Jesus Christ. Christ alone looks us in the eye and promises peace with God. Brother, sister, the greatest treasure in the whole wide world is... All right. Was that you, Amelia?
Yep.
All right. I know I've got one Colin Buchanan fan out there. And I was just seeing if the rest of you are awake. Honestly, I cannot see your faces and it's really annoying me. Okay. The greatest treasure in the whole wide world is peace with God. And so spend yourself. Every day, spend yourself on the greatest treasure hunt. And do not terminate your treasure hunt on the dust particles. Yes, by all means, enjoy relationships, enjoy a good meal, enjoy a holiday, enjoy seeing God's beautiful creation, enjoy career achievements, enjoy all of those things. But make sure you look through them and look up and up and up and see the blazing glory of God. Thank Him, praise Him, enjoy Him. Make thankfulness and gratitude daily habits. And here's what you'll find. Peace. It'll be an inner peace. It is a spiritual peace, but make no doubt, it's a real peace. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Yes, we will still have conflict. We will have pain. We will have sorrow. But in Jesus Christ, there is solid ground on which we can and will weather any and every storm. There in the ground, His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again, and as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand till He returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. I'm going to pray, and then the band is going to lead us in that song. And part of my prayer is that we're going to lift the roof off. Let's pray. Oh, Father, this is it's actually a hard time for some of us. Christmas, a time to slow down, is a time to, for some, to remember the heartaches and the hardships and the fears of what does next year bring. And so, Father, tonight, right now, in this moment, would we yield to hear Your good news? You have done the greatest thing about all that is wrong in the world. You sent Your Son. He defeated sin and death. And so, Father, we pray that as we sing these words that we're about to sing, that our hearts will be reminded here in the love and the power and the death of Christ we stand. Father, we pray this so that our hope will be in You, that You would get the glory that You richly deserve. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.